Yo, what's going on, guys? Welcome to a brand new episode of Tariq Radio. I am your gracious host. My name is Mr. Tariq Nasheed. Glad to have everybody tuning in for this week's broadcast. Ladies and gentlemen, let everybody know that we're broadcasting live now. Everybody, when you come in the room, hit that thumbs up button, hit that subscribe button, and let everybody know that we got it popping right now. What we're going to do, family, we're going to take that real quick commercial break. So don't you move a muscle, because we'll be right back right here on Tariq Radio.
Yo, you still ain't getting women? Really? Come on, son. You need to go to badboymembership.com and step up your game. What's up, y'all? It's your boy, Mr. Locario, the bad boy of the dating game. And I'm telling you that if you really want to attract beautiful women, you need to go to badboymembership.com. This is where you get 45 through 90 minute step-by-step dating advice tutorials every month. Just sign up, follow the advice, and you'll get the woman you want. Go to badboymembership.com. That's badboymembership.com.
The Hurricane Report is a news website dedicated to lovingly serving the Black American community. Go to our website, h-report.news. Subscribe to us. Follow us on Instagram at h_REEEPOORT. Twitter at the H-Report2. And share the articles. You can purchase merch, donate, or drop us a line through our contact form. Go to h-report.news. Take action and maintain freedom.
If you are looking for a great Christmas gift for your kids, order Gifted and Lit. Gifted and Lit is educational programming that uses hip-hop and cartoons to teach children mathematics, science, language arts, and more. Order their bundle deals at giftedandlit.com. Remember, that is giftedandlit.com.
It's your main man, Mr. X. Get your hand on my pocket, and I'm here to give you what you want, to give you what you need.
This is Mrs. X. Listen to Get Your Hands Out My Pocket on SoundCloud.com/GYHOMP.
We are also on YouTube and Facebook. Come be the solution to Black people's problems.
What if there was an opportunity for you to actually get your finances together and make money and pay for things that you already love? That's exactly what the creators of Yope have done. YopeToday.com is an online platform that teaches financial responsibility without being pushy or salesy. It's designed to show you how to put your money to work, fix your credit, and make an impact with your buying power. For less than a dollar a day, you get unlimited access to information and resources. If you go to YopeToday.com and use the promo code Tariq, you'll be entered to win a free vacation. This month, our winner will be heading to Thailand. Every month, you'll get amazing trips, content, and resources. Go to YopeToday.com and enter the code Tariq to lock in your opportunity to go to Thailand. That's YopeToday.com.
That's YopeToday.com.
The year is 2079. The futuristic nation of New Albion has been created to maintain a new racial apartheid system. There is a planned genocide that is going to target the nation's Black population. A small group of Black revolutionaries band together to launch guerrilla warfare attacks against their oppressors. Do they fail, or do they succeed? Find out the answer by reading the book, Avoid the Machines, the new novel by author Scotty Vasco. Avoid the Machines. Now available on Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com.
You are now listening to the incredible, the legendary, Tariq Nasheed.
A nasty, vile, gutter snipe. Right up out the hood.
On Tariq Radio.
Where is JJ getting all this cash?
Yo, what's going on, guys? We're back. We are back, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to Tariq Radio, and I am your gracious host. My name is Mr. Tariq Nasheed. Right back at you, ready to get it popping. I hope all of you guys have gotten your download of Hidden Colors 5 at HiddenColorsFilm.com. HiddenColorsFilm.com. That's where you can watch Hidden Colors 1 through 5, and you can stream them and watch them live right now, ladies and gentlemen. Shout out to the Foundation of Black American Family. We're still getting the Foundation of Black American Conference organized. We're just trying to find a big enough venue down in Atlanta. So we're getting that popping. We're still in the works, trying to get that popping right now. We're going to keep everybody posted on that. And again, thank everybody who pre-ordered their tickets for the Foundation of Black American Conference that's happening in June 2020. We're going to keep everybody up to date with that. So what else is going on, man? A lot of stuff we're going to talk about on today's broadcast, but let's just get right into the meat and the gravy of what we're talking about today. And speaking of meat and gravy, we're talking about Lizzo. Now, Lizzo is an American, what is she, a rapper, singer, sing rap? I don't really know what to label her. Entertainer. Well, people have been talking about Lizzo in the news. Oh, God. Now, Lizzo, she does a lot of stuff. Her handlers, her management, the white people who manage her and handle her career, they parade her around nude all the time. She's a morbidly obese woman. And we're not saying that's right or wrong, good or bad. That's not to disparage. We're just making an observation. She is an obese woman. So the white supremacists, they love parading around obese black women. I've talked about this for years. They did the same thing with Gabby Sidibe. They would parade her around and put her on fashion magazines. And they've taken it a step further with Lizzo. Because see, with Gabby, it was very hard for them to justify doing it because of that role. She did one movie, Precious. And for them to parade her around the way they did, it looked real strange. But now with this Lizzo person, she has one or two hit songs from her album. Her audience is damn near primarily white. So white people love parading around this overweight black woman who gets on stage twerking, wearing these revealing outfits, and some black people with low self-esteem are led to believe that white people are parading her around because of some type of appreciation for her loving her own skin, quote unquote. That's a con job that a lot of black folks like to tell themselves when they're being exploited by white people. They parade this person around and act like they're giving her props, but they're secretly snickering and laughing and mocking. We better understand that game. So the thing is with Lizzo, I mean, she's on her album cover nude. She's always twerking and just very over the top. So she was at a basketball game. So she went there with a very tacky outfit on. She had I think it was a dress with the back cut out and her big flat ass was showing. And I won't even call it a thong. It's a wrong. She had on a wrong. So she started twerking at the basketball game and they put it on the jumbo screen and a lot of folks were talking about it. And some low self-esteem Negroes was like, yes, you go girl, and all that stupid ass nonsense. It was extremely inappropriate, and some people were trying to make false comparisons to thinner women. They tried to say it was fat shaming. It is not fat shaming, it's flat shaming. This woman's ass just doesn't look good. It has nothing to do with her being fat in proportion to the rest of her body. Her ass is flat. She doesn't have a nice ass. She's one of these big girls whose ass is flat. If her ass was nice, some people might be like, this is kind of tacky, but at least, you know, that's a nice little ass. Her ass is not nice. She just doesn't have a nice ass. Her shape is funny built. She's one of them funny built women. Even if she was skinny, she'd be funny built. Some people are just funny built. It ain't got nothing to do with their weight. If you skinny and funny built and you gain a gang of weight, you're just going to be a big funny built bastard. That's all it is. Nobody's hating on this woman. It's not sexy what she's doing. She's not curvy. She's just big. She's boxy. She's not curvy. Her ass is shaped like a box. You shouldn't be showing your ass if it's not nice. I don't care how big you are. She is not curvy. She is boxy. She's not shaped like a circle. She's shaped like a box. Let's just stop fucking around with this thing. There's some big chicks out there whose shapes are in proportion and it looks good. Look at some of these Instagram thought models. Some of them are big as hell, but it looks good. It's in proportion. It looks good. Some of them are big as hell. Some of these girls are 200 plus pounds and they wear it right. She don't wear it right. And that's okay. But you don't have to force yourself in our visual peripherals. That's the thing. It's like, hey, I'm going to force you to look at me. And that's the problem. He too. Y'all got me too. He too. I don't want to see that. Just like y'all don't want to see dudes yanking they schlong out or dudes walking around with their butt cheeks out. We don't want to see that either. Some things we just don't want to see when it's unsolicited. We don't want to see it. Especially at a game. A game is family friendly. And they're trying to say, well, Rihanna be wearing outfits like that, but she doesn't wear outfits like that at no game. What about the cheerleaders? The cheerleaders don't be having no shit like that on. They don't. The cheerleaders are not that revealing with their whole ass out with a thong. That was inappropriate. And the thing is, let's just be real. It's trying to spin that into something empowering, that's just a con job you're trying to run on yourself. Tell me what was empowering about that woman running around there at a game with her flat ass out twerking. What was empowering about that? Let's stop playing black folks. See, the white supremacists, they tell you that because they always running a con game on you. And you got to understand, when the dominant society is co-signing something very heavy, because most of the people supporting this fiasco were white people, when they start supporting something too much in mass, you know there's a problem. It's not going to be good for the benefit of black society. It's not. When the dominant white society is really co-signing some Negro doing something, usually it ain't something good. It's just not good. And y'all got to understand, trying to make believe that this is some type of provocative new thing where you're showing your confidence, you're making a statement by parading yourself around or allowing these people to parade you around, it's not a statement. And by the way, this was orchestrated by her management. Her people did this. This was a big publicity blitz because the same week she did this, Time Magazine came out with her on the cover as the entertainer of the year. This woman is a one-hit wonder for the most part. She only has, what, one or two songs out that's really hitting. So notice how Time Magazine and all of these white entities parade certain black folks around, like Lil Nas X. Remember, Lil Nas X was on Time Magazine's cover. Was it last month or the month before? You understand? Look at who they're putting on black. Look at the black people that they're parading around, telling people that these are the black people who should be looked up to. You understand? Watch these people. This is orchestrated by her handlers. Now, why do white people like her so much? And why do they parade this woman around naked so much with her ass out? There's nothing new about this. Let's stop acting like this is something innovative. This is something groundbreaking. They've always paraded overweight black women around to mock them. Going back to slavery, this is a plantation spectacle. Do y'all understand this? Black people, learn when you're being insulted. Lizzo is being paraded around like a plantation spectacle. They did the same thing with women like Sarah Bartman back in the 1800s. They did the same thing. They would get these women, and remember, Sarah Bartman had a real big ass, but she was considered overweight, and that was an oddity. They paraded her around French society as a spectacle. They paraded her around as she was an animal, as if she was an animal. This is how they look at you. They look at you as some type of exotic beast. And parading overweight black women around, this is something that they've been doing for centuries. And it was used to justify practicing white supremacy on black people. You got to understand, in the rise of white supremacy, there was also the rise of the Protestant movement, especially out here. And with the Protestant movement, that's where we get the term white Anglo-Saxon Protestants, WASPs. In the Protestant movement, they looked down on overeating. That's why there were so many thin white people. Overeating was something that was looked down upon. Gluttony was looked upon as being sinful. So a lot of white people who were Protestants, and the Protestant movement was going on, they were not eating a lot of food like that. They were not overeating. They looked down on that. That was sinful. And they had to contrast that to the overweight black person, because in their own writings, in their own documents, they would attach overeating with greed. Those Africans are greedy and undisciplined and savage. These are their words. If you look at old publications back then, they would associate obesity with savagery in the 1800s. Now, before that, in the Renaissance era, there were bigger white people. That was looked upon as wealth. But I'm talking about later on down the line. If you look at a lot of publications, they would look at obesity as savagery, and they would parade black people around, especially black women, after they would give black people the poorest of foods. You got to be very clear. This is the kind of mind game the white supremacists play. They enslave you, give you the poorest food to eat, and then keep you in the house. And then when you become the overweight mammy, they parade you around like, hey, look at this. Look at this undisciplined, overweight person. And also what they would do, they would use overweight black women as a way to discipline white women. Because being big and overweight and black, that's in white supremacy's mind, in the mind of the white supremacist, that's a sign of poverty. They associate the big, overweight, undisciplined black woman with poverty. Even today, when you think of the welfare queen stereotype, it's always a big black woman with a bunch of kids. This is how the white supremacists orchestrate their propaganda. And then on top of that, when they can sexualize you, make you overweight and overtly sexualized, you can kill two birds with one stone with the stereotypes, which is all used to justify harming black people. Like, look at them. Look at how they're undisciplined. Look at how they're acting. So if we punish them in any way, it's always justified, because look at them. They're wild animals. They're wild, untamed beasts. So we can cage them up. We can do anything we want to them because they're not human like us. See, we got to watch these damn stereotypes and stop acting like you're being empowered by this stuff. They use that to justify harming us. And also, like I said, they would use overweight black women to threaten white women. Like, hey, white woman, don't you get like this. If you get overweight like this woman, you're going to be taken down off the racial hierarchy. You're going to lose some of those white privileges. I remember a scene in the movie Gone with the Wind where Rhett Butler, the main character, was talking to Scarlett Johansson, and he was talking to her about eating so much. He was like, well, damn, Scarlett, hey, you keep eating like that, you're going to be as big as Mammy. A lot of folks don't catch that scene in Gone with the Wind. And Gone with the Wind is a long movie. It's a very long movie, but I caught that. That really stood out. I'm like, whoa, that was heavy. That was real heavy. But the thing is, we got to watch that stuff. We got to watch these stereotypes that they create for you to walk into. And also look at the contrast. Because another thing is, we got to look at it from another perspective, how they parade Black American women around. And this is why they're trying to replace us. See, what they do, they'll parade Black American women around as trifling, undisciplined, wild, and overly sexual and overweight. But they just had the Miss Universe contest, right? And the Miss Universe winner was a South African Black woman. And you see how poised she is. You understand? You better watch this stuff. Look at how poised, in shape, and intelligent she presented herself. See, when we look at television, we see they have us looking crazy. And let's be fair, a lot of these people are tethers anyway, but they portray negative stereotypes of what Black women are supposed to be. And this is why we should call that out, because when we call out some of the ratchetness that we see on the Love and Hip Hop shows and the ratchetness we see from the Lizzos and all these other people, and when we criticize it, folks start talking about, well, y'all are hating on the Black woman. And we don't, I'm tired of people putting filth on Black women, especially Black American women. Everybody has to dump filth and funky stereotypes on Black American women, and Black American women are not about twerking and being ratchet and fighting. That's not indicative of Black American women culture. Now, Lizzo, she did a video where she was kind of splaining. Let me play some of the video where she was kind of trying to justify what she was doing. Hold on.
So I just hope that, you know, who I am and the essence of me and the things that I choose to do as a grown-ass woman can inspire you to do the same. You don't have to.
Inspire you to do what? What is he? Let's stop acting like filth is somehow inspiring. Just going around twerking, inspire somebody to do what? We got this thing where we want to be spectacles. We're satisfied with being a goddamn spectacle. There's nothing positive or progressive in what she was doing. There's nothing beneficial to you going out there making a damn spectacle of yourself. I want to inspire what? To twerk, to shake your ass? We did that on the plantation.
Have to be like me. You need to be like you. And never ever let somebody stop you or shame you from being yourself. Like, this is who I've always been. Now everyone's looking at it, and your criticism can just remain your criticism. Your criticism has no effect on me. Negative criticism has no stake in my life, no control over my life, over my emotions. I'm the happiest I've ever been. I'm surrounded by love, and I just want to spread that love and also spread these cheeks. And you know, if you really, really don't like my ass, you can kiss it.
No, thank you.
Because kissing it makes it go away, I promise. I just want y'all to know, like, it doesn't matter what goes on the internet. Like, nothing really breaks my joy.
This woman is trying to put on a happy face, and you can see in her eyes. Y'all can't see the video. Her eyes are sad. She knows this is some sad, pathetic shit she's doing. You could see it in her eyes, and she knows it, and this is why she's nigga-splaining. She knows that this is a desperate attempt for attention. And when you're reduced to doing anything for attention, that's a sign of desperation. I remember, if you're an entertainer, man, you can just be talented. You didn't have to do publicity stunts and gimmicks to show your talent. You didn't have to do all that. Your talent was your talent. Your talent was your gimmick. Now they have to parade you around, and you got to make a damn spectacle of yourself. You can say no. And she goes on to say how she was homeless and all this old stuff. And this is the problem with white supremacy. when you deprive people of resources and you break them to the point where they'll do anything to make a damn buck, that shows the sickness of white supremacy. Now, there's other big women out here. Somebody in the chat room made a good observation. Martha Washington's a big woman. She didn't do all that. You don't have to make a spectacle of yourself. Hell, Luther was a big dude. Luther was big, small, big, small. Luther can just stand up to that mic flat-footed with the mic and sing that song and get it popping. Luther didn't have to have gimmicks. Whitney didn't have to have gimmicks. You don't need gimmicks. Your talent should be your damn gimmick. Aretha Franklin didn't need no damn gimmick. Anita Baker didn't need a gimmick. You understand? Barry White, big old brother. He didn't need no gimmick. You just kept it player. You put out good material. You don't have to make a spectacle out of yourself. Because they use that to justify harming all of us. So understand that. Don't let these people fool you into believing that this is some type of positive. This is just the white supremacists parading around plantation spectacles like they've always done. And speaking of plantation, there's a new dude getting into the presidential race. His name is Tom Steyer. I never heard of this guy. Have y'all heard of Tom Steyer? Or Steyer, S-T-E-Y-E-R? I never heard of this guy. Some other people said that he was some kind of billionaire. So obviously, I think he's getting into the presidential race. And I saw a clip of him. And somebody brought up reparations. And I want y'all to listen to his answer. See, we got to watch these people. And we got to watch all the con games that they're trying to run. And again, I've talked about how many of these media outlets, they're starting to attack Foundation of Black Americans by name. They're attacking Foundation of Black Americans by name at this point because they see that we are influencing a lot of things. So they're trying to come at us. But let me play this clip of Tom Steyer talking about reparations. And watch the con game, guys.
And how, in fact, we're going to repair the injustice.
But what would you say to critics, though, that would say, we've talked about this a lot. What are you actually going to do for me in terms of making things right?
And look, there's a simple, I know that there's a simple line, which is cut the check. And what I would say is this. I know we have to get there. And the way that we get there is also very important. So when you think about undoing injustice, one of the models that I have in the back of my mind is the way that Nelson Mandela and Bishop Tutu dealt with it in South Africa.
Are y'all hearing this? Uh-oh. Now, I want y'all to catch what he said. Now, y'all got to watch this. He said... Yeah, he said cut the check. That's Jason Black. Jason Black popularized that term. You got these presidential candidates using the language that we're using. He says, yes, I know they want to cut the check. But then, did y'all catch what he said earlier, later, after that? Because they can't use Martin Luther King. See, they try to exploit Dr. King and say, well, Dr. King wanted things for everybody. See, that they love to try to throw Dr. King in our faces. Well, Dr. King wanted all races to get together and love each other as one brother and sister in a minority coalition. See, they can't use Dr. King because when they try to use Dr. King, we're going to come back and remind you that, hey, Dr. King wanted reparations. You got it? We're going to remind you that Dr. King wants reparations too. So they can't go to Dr. King no more. So they want to go to somebody, another influential black person. So now they're going to start going to Nelson Mandela. So I want y'all to catch where he was going with that. See, watch these white supremacists, suspects, these suspected white supremacists. He went to Mandela. That's another black person who's iconic among black people around the world. So they're going to go to, well, I want to do the Nelson Mandela model. Now watch this.
Nelson Mandela and Bishop Tutu is the way that Nelson Mandela and Bishop Tutu dealt with it in South Africa. They had something called the Truth and Reconciliation.
Nope, nope, nope. Truth and Reconciliation, hell no. No, 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 no. I warned y'all about that a long time ago. When they start talking about truth and reconciliation, no. Run for the hills. Run for the hills. Hell no. That's a nothing burger. When they start talking about that truth and reconciliation, no. Man, that truth and reconciliation meant nothing. That was basically, we're going to acknowledge we did wrong and we're not going to be punished and we're going to get to keep all the wealth. Hell no. We're not going to do the Nelson Mandela truth and reconciliation model. That's a nothing burger. I knew that's where they were going. They were going to go there and damn sure they went there. I told y'all they were going to start going there with that truth and reconciliation thing. Watch the con game. I'm telling y'all, whenever they say that, just leave the room. It's a con game. Truth and reconciliation is nothing in Africa. In South Africa, the black people are still in poverty and the white people still got all the wealth and the resources over there. It meant nothing. That's a con game. It's nothing tangible. Let me play the rest of this garbage.
Dealt with it in South Africa. They had something called the Truth and Reconciliation Commission. And I believe that it's important to do the education. Sure, we've talked about it, but I can tell you from living outside the American South that the number of people in this country who really understand the history is low.
Lies. This is another thing. Well, we need to start teaching everybody about how bad racism is. This is what they're trying to do now. We want to teach you how, and a lot of folks just don't know about how bad the racism is. So we need to teach people.
In South, the number of people in this country who really understand the history is low. And I know that African Americans have said to me, we know this. And my answer is, I know you know this, but everybody else doesn't necessarily know this. And to get the right policy, we have to tell the true story in an organized and public fashion.
No. No, this is a con game, guys. Before we do the policy, we need to tell the story. That's a deflection. That's a deflection. That's a deflection. So let's create a whole bunch of museums and policies where we talk about the story. We let you tell your truth. No, that's a deflection. It's a deflection. It's some shit where they're trying to run game on black people to come out here and start talking about your emotions. They know that black folks like attention, so they think that we're going to fall for the whole, we'll give you attention and we'll listen attentively, but we're not going to give you nothing, but we'll listen to you. That's a con game. We already know the history. We got Hidden Colors 1 through 5. We know the history. Now let's get that paper up out there.
Really know this. And to get the right policy, story in an organized and public fashion. And I believe, but only to do that, and I completely concur, to only do that is not nearly enough. That's why I said it has to be solutions oriented so we understand how we got here and what we're going to do about it. But if you think about what I said today about HBCUs.
Oh, Lord. That HBCU, damn an HBCU, man. These HBCUs are full of damn immigrants, white people, Hispanics, Asians. That HBCU is another con game. It's a con game. Don't let them run this game on you. Well, we're going to help you with all of the injustices that foundational black Americans have gone through by giving money to a bunch of immigrants. No.
You know, in terms of cut the check, candidly, that's a big check compared to what people are talking about. And my point is, yes, and that's appropriate and important and absolutely justified.
Mr. Steyer.
Okay. So in this whole game where they want to play this game, well, we need to teach people how bad racism is. See, black people know, but white people don't know. So what we need to do is educate. We'll spend some resources on educating white people on how bad racism is. So we're cutting a check. Yeah, that's important. But what we'll do first, as a deflection, let's educate white people and just to let them know just how bad racism has been in this country historically. Family, that's a con game. That's a con game. The white supremacists love playing dumb. Family, no one on the planet understands racism more than white people. I want y'all to understand me. No one on this planet understands racism from top to bottom more than white people. You think they don't know about racism? The white supremacists are the ones who created the system of racism. They create the injustice. They know more about racism than we do. We don't know half the stuff that they be doing behind the scenes. Black folks don't know. This is why we try to educate you with the Hidden Color series. White people are fully aware of how racism works. Way more than us. If they don't know, and Neely Fuller talked about this, he said by the age of 15, they have to know about racism or they're going to get in trouble with other white people. They better know the codes and the rules and the guidelines of how white supremacy work, or they'll get in trouble with other white people by getting off code. You're supposed to be on code as a person classified as white under a system of white supremacy. You're supposed to be all the way on code by the time you become a teenager. They are fully aware of racism. Hell, little white children, you go play a game of Xbox or one of those interactive video games and listen to 5 and 6 year old white children who fully understand what a nigga is and how to practice white supremacy. These people orchestrate white supremacy. These people sit up and come up with all types of discriminatory housing practices, employment practices. They orchestrate this stuff all the time. Half the stuff they do, we ain't even aware of it. We don't understand how they get in these rooms and these think tanks and come up with ways to deprive us of resources. And how they orchestrate their Negro minions to go out here. They are fully aware of racism. That is such a con game when they try to get you to sit around here and explain racism to the dominant society. And black folks, that's a very bad habit we get into. We got to get out here and let them know how bad we being treated. Stop it. That's why I always tell people, as far as the Hidden Color stuff, white people know all this stuff. They know everything in Hidden Colors. It's hidden because they hid it. That's why it's hidden. The colors are hidden because the white supremacists hid it. All the information and things from the Hidden Color series, it's all in these white museums. See, that's why it was a shock to black people, all this information. It's all in their museums and their little secret rooms. Hidden in different languages. This is why we had to go all around the world getting information for the Hidden Colors films. They are very aware of how systematic white supremacy works. These people collect all types of anti-black memorabilia from Jim Crow. Because there's another clip of this guy saying, well, there's a lot of people don't understand what happened during Jim Crow. The hell they don't. White people do. Google the term Black Americana. Black Americana, these are a bunch of items that a lot of white supremacists sell on eBay. These little mammy jars and these coon cups. All of these things from the Jim Crow era. All of these derogatory images of black people that these people keep in their homes. These Jim Crow signs of black folks and little figurines eating watermelon. That's big money, man. There's a lot of money in there. They love collecting little stuff like that. Don't let these folks play dumb. They got a whole industry of little things that they do. Man, white folks got family members who have lynched body parts up in the attic in their homes. They have preserved penises and fingers and limbs of black folks who were lynched. You got these people who share stories in the family of some Negroes they done lynched or raped back in the day. They are fully aware of racism. We don't understand it. They do. So let's stop falling for the con game. We ain't got to explain nothing to them. We got to get off this thing where we have to explain everything to them. No, no, no. Write that check. Let's get that money popping. That's all we want to see. We want to see some tangibles. We're not talking. We're not trying to be your friend. See, this is this thing they're trying to run this game because they know that there's a lot of Lizzos out there, Negroes who are desperate for attention, who wants to be hugged and loved by white people. No, all of us ain't like that. I don't need your damn hug. I'm not going to sit up there with Hillary Clinton like Mary J. Blige singing, "Is it a gun? Is it a knife? Is it a wallet?" And Hillary's sitting up there fake listening. No. That was embarrassing. That was embarrassing. No, let's get that money popping. We're going to be offended. Well, damn it, be offended. Where's the money? It's a lot of folks in here. Everybody hit the thumbs up button, family. Hit that thumbs up button and hit the subscribe button. Hit the thumbs up button, hit the subscribe button. Speaking of thumbs up, do y'all know the FBI put out a tweet last week? They were like, we're partnering with UPS or something to that effect. Let me find that tweet. Let me find the exact tweet. But they were hooking up with UPS. Let me find the exact tweet so I don't have to paraphrase. Come on, thing. Where is it? Okay. So the FBI tweeted, through a partnership between the FBI and UPS, you can now submit your fingerprints electronically for an identity history summary check while you buy stamps and mail packages. Hell no. So they want you to voluntarily to go down and submit your damn fingerprints and your thumbprints so you can mail packages with UPS. The hell out of here. Hell no. Y'all better not go for that. No, Lord. This is more surveillance. They already got some facial recognition surveillance that they're trying to put out there, and people are trying to fight it in legislature. This stuff is it's getting real RoboCop-ish out here, dude. It's getting real heavy out here. We better don't volunteer for no stuff like that. And pretty soon they're gonna start those chips. We've been talking about them chips for years, and a lot of conspiracy books have been talking about those. They've been wanting to chip people up. And these chips are going to be like GPS devices. But I've told people, they already got chips. The chips are on the outside of your body. The chips are your cell phones. Them cell phones are nothing but tracking devices. That's why they make those things entertaining. They make cell phones to the point where you never want to put them down. You already got the chip. The chip is already in your hand with your cell phone. That's your chip right there. And those chips got everything about you in them. They already got you in your phone. Everything in your about your life is in your phone. You dig? And remember what they said. Even when your phone is off, they can still trace your ass. So we better watch. We better learn how to do things off the grid. Because when we start doing things off the grid, they get threatened. There was a brother, I think this brother was in Flint, Michigan, a black man. He created some kind of device where you can make clean water out of thin air. This brother had this device, and this is a black man. He created this thing, and I want to say the brother's in Flint, if I'm not mistaken. But he's giving away free water. He created this thing, and he's giving people free water. And somebody went and tried to sabotage his device. Somebody went up there and tried to sabotage this man's device. So we know who that was. It wasn't nobody in the neighborhood or whatever. That was in Flint, Michigan. Yeah, somebody tried to vandalize that man's device. You dig? See, we got to watch that stuff. They tried to destroy that thing. When We got to watch that. When black folks create something that's going to help other black people and all of a sudden it gets sabotaged, we got to watch that. We got to start looking out for other people, man. We got to look out for black folks who are putting things together. Shout out to the people at the Turkey Leg Hut. The black community gathered around those brothers and sisters there, and that lawsuit against them was dropped. Shout out to the community for looking out for them, because there was an email showing that this was a conspiracy. The suspected white supremacists were deliberately trying to throw lawsuits at them so they could wipe them out economically. So we got to look out for our folks who's out here doing things in our best interest, because they're going to be attacked. We have to look out for that. And speaking of attacks, I know a lot of y'all heard about that shooting in Jersey. There was a shooting in Jersey where a police officer got killed, some civilians got killed, and there's a lot of conflicting information about this shooting. And if you ask questions, people try to attack you. The white supremacist suspects try to attack you on Twitter because they use this shooting to justify demonizing black people. Now, with this shooting, and I'm not even sure of all the details because all the details are so damn sketchy. They said that it was some people who were once connected to the black Hebrew Israelites who went into a Jewish community and shot some Jewish people. It was a deliberate attack. But there's no evidence that it was connected with the black Hebrew Israelites. It sounds like a bunch of I'm white and I say so. But then they said that there was a drug deal gone bad. I mean, it's all over the place. So they haven't even gotten the story right. Then they're trying to frame it as anti-Semitic. But I'm like, if it's anti-Semitic and the dude was a Hebrew Israelite, the Hebrew Israelites, they identify themselves as Jewish. And then you got a lot of people on Twitter, they ain't no damn Jewish people. Well, says who? I mean, what, is it I'm white and I say so? Who to say they're not and you are? And if they're anti-Semitic but they're Jewish and they're attacking white people, are the white people in Israel who are attacking Jewish black people, are they anti-Semitic too? So we got to watch these words everybody's throwing out. So is, and then they said they deliberately went to a Jewish community, but the deli they went to, or the store they went to, was in a black neighborhood. It was on Martin Luther King Boulevard. So it wasn't a Jewish neighborhood they were in. They were in a black neighborhood because a lot of people from Jersey was like, hey, that's a black area. So you see how they do when it's some black suspects who do a shooting crime like this. You don't get the lone wolf treatment. See, they have to connect them to a large number of other black people. They have to make it seem like, well, this is part of black culture. A lot of other black people have to be complicit. See, they don't do the lone wolf thing, which is basically what this sounds like, just some kind of lone wolf situation. But then they try to make it seem like, well, this is indicative of black anti-Semitism. This is how they're trying to frame it, and they're trying to attack all black people with it now. See, they don't do that. When these white supremacist shooters are out here killing people on a weekly basis, and some of these killers are making manifestos naming people in the alt-right who influence them, but they never tie them into these groups. But now they're using I'm white and I say so to tie these two lone wolves into damn near every other black person. So we got to watch that con game and ask questions and don't let people punk you out, because now they're trying to change the narrative. They started to refer to them as black supremacists, because first they were referring to them as black Hebrew Israelites, but there was no evidence that the guy was doing this on behalf of the black Hebrew Israelites. So now they're saying he was a black supremacist. So what the hell is a black supremacist? There's no such thing as a black supremacist. The fact that y'all killed the guy, or the suspects, it was a man and a woman, shows that he's not supreme. Supreme means I can kill you with impunity, but you can't kill me with impunity. Whoever can kill the other person with impunity, that's the supreme person. They killed him immediately. So right there shows that he's not supreme over nothing. There is no black supremacy. No such thing. You can't have white supremacy and black supremacy. It's an oxymoron. But I digress. There was a New York Times article that came out this week, and I tweeted about it. And y'all need to check this article out. It says, study examines why black Americans remain scarce in executive suites. A new report, Being Black in Corporate America, outlines why diversity inclusion efforts are falling short for African American professionals. And they mean foundational black American professionals. And in this article, let me read one paragraph. It says something that we've been saying for the longest about how the white supremacists in corporate America, they prefer black immigrants to hire. We've been telling y'all that for the longest. This article says the black immigrant population in the United States has increased fivefold since 1980, and black immigrants often have different perspectives than American-born black people on what it means to be black in America. According to the report, white people tend to prefer and give better opportunities to Afro-Caribbeans over African-Americans. And African-Americans are more likely than immigrants from Africa to say that colleagues have underestimated their intelligence. Full-time professional Afro-Caribbean descent, people of Afro-Caribbean descent, are more likely than those with African or African-American roots to have access to senior corporate leaders, the study found. Heritage shapes black experiences in the professional workplace in profound ways, the report says, contributing to hierarchies that are rarely discussed. So basically, this is what we've been saying for the longest. The white supremacists, they've been replacing foundational black Americans deliberately. We've been saying this from the get. And one of the reasons why they will bring in foreign black people in the corporate world, because foreign black people are less likely to complain about racial animosity or antagonism from the white people on the job. This is basically what they're saying. Foreign black people are less likely to speak out against any type of racism or racial mistreatment. They'll just kind of go along with the program. Some of them, let's be clear, they'll join in with the white supremacists, especially if they're attacking other black foundational Americans. This is why BuzzFeed and all these people, they have all these foreign, non-foundational black American, African and Caribbeans working for them. You look at BuzzFeed and some of the Huffington Post and look at all of these Caribbeans and West African last names, and you look at these articles talking greasy about foundational black Americans. I've been telling y'all this for years, and now they're confirming this. Basically, what they're saying, a lot of foreign-born black people were going here cooning it up a little bit more. They'll go in these jobs samboing it up a little bit more. Because, see, black Americans, we've dealt with these white supremacists for centuries, and we ain't about to go up in there ca-caing and key-keying with them all the time. See, they understand with black Americans, foundational black Americans, you're going to work to get your check. You're going to get your money. You ain't trying to get into office politics. You ain't trying to be shooting the breeze with your little low-key, passive-aggressive, racist coworker. They know that we ain't got the time for their asses. We up there trying to get our work done. We're trying to get through the day without choking one of them. And they understand if you say something too slick, we're going to go down there to HR. We're going to get a lawsuit going and clean this damn company out. Excuse me. They know we're going to clean that company out. You get two races, we're going to come back with a lawyer on your ass. Where they get some foreign coons, and not all of my foreign brothers and sisters on the coon train, but they know the coon hiring pool in the Caribbean and in Africa. They know how to bring the coons over and they'll sit up there talking greasy about black folks at the job, and the foreign Sambo will be like, yes, I agree, those niggas are stupid. Yes, those niggas are lazy. They don't want to work. They sit up there co-signing the shit. You dig? We ain't gonna tolerate that. We're not gonna sit up there and let them talk greasy about black folks. We be secretly filming their ass without them knowing it. Then all of a sudden, they get slapped with a lawsuit. They know how we do. So again, I've always said this. This is why the white feminists and the Me Toos, this is why they get the Tarana Burks and the Fraudanista Joneses and the Jamela Lemieux, all these people with these foreign backgrounds. This is why they get these people to do all their dirty work for them. This is why these articles from The Root, and that's another place with a bunch of foreigners working there, with all of the straight black men, all the white people of black society, and cisgendered black folks ain't shit. This is why all of these negative articles come out about foundational black Americans daily with these publications. This is who they have working up in there. And again, this is why when you look at the political spectrum, you see the Kamala Harris's rising up. They know who to get. This is why you see the Obamas rising up. They know who to get. They know who to cultivate. They know who to find people who have venom, who has venom towards foundational black Americans. They know who to get. And this article is confirming that. This is why when you look at media stories from the corporate media, you got to take it with a grain of salt. When you see all these anti-black American stories, watch who's writing it. Just like they had that Puerto Rican Sambo on the reparations commission up there with old ass Danny Glover talking about how we don't need no damn reparations. This is why they get the Candace Owens and people like that. They know who to get. This is why they get a Stephen A. Smith, another Negro with a foreign background. They know who to get. They know who to bring in. This is why the greatest thing we've done is to recognize our own ethnic group and circle our wagons around our ethnic group and focus on our lineage, not anything else. We're focused on our lineage. And we need to focus on empowering ourselves based on lineage, not sexuality, like the Yvette Carnells and the Tones of the world, or these pivoting Negroes who are using shit to finesse attention for themselves. We got to focus primarily on lineage, and everything else will fall into place when we focus on our lineage. Ladies and gentlemen. Anyway, guys, that's been today's episode of Tariq Radio. Everybody go to hiddencolorsfilm.com so you can watch HC 1 through 5 right now. You can also watch 1804 right now. I should have a... Because a lot of folks, this is the holiday season, and a lot of people ask me about Mac-ish packages. I should do like a little DVD package. I don't know. Y'all hit me up and let me know if y'all want to do if I should do a little quick holiday DVD package. If I do it, it'll be for one day. We do like a little DVD sale. Let me know if you guys want to do that. Some of y'all might not even have DVD players, because I can't bundle up the streams. I can't do that, but we can do like a deal with the DVDs since people are asking for a holiday package. So y'all let me know if y'all want to do something, if y'all would like to get the DVDs discounted. We might do it just for the holidays, just to show love for the holidays, but it will only have to be for one day. Y'all email me and let me know if y'all want us to do that. Email me and let me know, and we'll see what we can do. Yeah, we'll make it real cheap for one day just to show love for the holidays. It'll be a good gift for the family. I think I might do it. Y'all just got to let me know if you guys are interested in doing that. It would be a great gift. What's the date today, guys? Because I would like to do it so we can get everything out to you by Christmas and Kwanzaa for some of the folks who don't celebrate Christmas. Okay, you know what? What we'll do, we'll do something on Sunday. I'll do something on Sunday. We'll get a bunch of DVDs for like, shit, like 6-7 DVDs and a book for like $49. Something like that'll be cool. That'll be a nice Christmas gift to give to the family. So check with the Tariq Radio page. Tariq Radio, Tariq Radio, Tariq Radio. Check with the Tariq Radio page this Sunday. And we'll have the sale on Monday. We'll do that. We'll do that. So then we'll ship everything out Tuesday and you guys will get them for your Christmas gifts and your holiday gifts. So we'll do that. We'll do that. But check with TariqRadio.com on Sunday and we'll get it popping. All right. Anyway, guys, you guys be good. I'll talk to you guys Sunday on the stream. And also, I know my last stream, YouTube was messing it up for some reason. I heard that a lot of folks were having trouble playing back the stream. I don't know what's going on with YouTube. They were doing something with the stream. So that is what it is, man. Well, we're going to have to play past that. But y'all know what we got to do. We got to get some other forums in order to do what we have to do and say what we need to say. But anyway, I'm a holla. Peace.